So, Parshas Kiseitze, Tavshin Sama Zion. There's very little in the Moranayim. Well, there's a little, very tiny piece over here. And he concludes by telling us that when a person builds a house, it's a time of danger. Building houses are dangerous. New houses. This is why you have to make a Chanukah Sabayas. Because it's Ma'ir Dinim, he says, especially in the Chutz La'aretz, because there are all kinds of spirits. There are all kinds of spirits running around the world. And when you build a house, you're like interfering with the flow of the spiritual forces that were going around the world unlimited, unhampered, untouched. When you build the house, it's like you're putting an obstacle in their way. And they're not happy about this. And actually, this is a Zohar. It's a Zohar. And the Zohar says, you have to designate your house that it's designated for the service of Hashem. Otherwise, these forces of evil will sort of take revenge against you. Because you interfered with their freedom of movement and activity. So that, he says, that goes into what it says in this week's parasha, that kisivna bayis chodosh vasisa makal gagecha. You should know when you build a new house, you're making a mak. A mak means taka tsaris. Bring tsaris. Because you have made a fence, you've made a border and an obstacle in the world, and they're not happy about that. So therefore, someone's going to fall off the roof. Some bad things can happen unless you dedicate your house to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Those are the words I just want to share with the Moranayim. Otherwise, not very much this week's parasha. So I'm going to go to another area of Chassidus, and that tonight we have two interesting yard sites. Tonight is the yard site of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, Baruch Ato Adonai Lahinu Melech Olam Sha'akol Nieb Zvro. Rav Tzadik is really one of the most interesting people. He was a perfect example of a case of a person who was brought up in a misnagdic background, totally misnagdic. He came from Latvia, came from a town that was so misnagdic that his father was the Rav. And when people heard that his father had a little bit of sympathy for Hasidim, not that he was a Chassid, but he talked to Hasidim, he had some sympathy, they got rid of him. They didn't want him. That's how strongly anti-Hasidic they were in Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, certain parts of White Russia. So, ultimately, his father never died, and he goes to live in a city, in a bigger town called Krynik. Now, Tzadok HaKohen was born in 1830s, I believe it was. He died in 1900. And he was an absolute Eloi, a total Eloi. It is told that when he was 1 year old, at the age of one, he already can make a bracha, and he made a shahakol on the milk that he was nursing from his mother. At the age of two, he already knew how to daven from a siddur. He davened, at the age of two, he was davening from a siddur. At the age of three, he was already learning Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. At the age of three, learning Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, that's pretty amazing. 3.5 years, actually. He's a little slow. That was the three and a half years. But it's amazing. I find it hard to believe it. But it says here in the Sefer that when he was 8 years old, he made a siyum on all of Shas. It's mind-boggling. This is tonight's yard site, Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. And he's just known plain as the Kohen. He finished Shas at the age of 8. I mean, I didn't finish till 11. I don't know how he did it so fast. I had to wait another 3 years. I mean, okay, whatever. But Mamash amazing. Mamash amazing. And he knew Kol Torah Kula. Kol HaTorah Kula. He gets married, and he was married about the age of 15 or 16 years old, which was the time they got married in those days, 150 years ago. And unfortunately, there were people who were jealous of him, that he had such a fine wife and a fine father-in-law, that actually people started spreading all kinds of bad rumors about his wife, and somehow they poisoned the whole relationship. And eventually he ends up, his wife didn't want to be divorced from him, but he didn't want her anymore, and he actually had to get a heter mei rabbanim to marry somebody else. So at that point, he left that area of Lithuania and Latvia, and he now started to go towards the area of Poland, the areas of Galicia where there were Hasidim and Tzaddikim, and he was exposed to Hasidus, and ultimately he became a Chassid. He ends up in Lublin, which is right almost the heart of between Poland and Galicia. And Lublin, he becomes eventually becomes a Rebbe himself. And he was a tremendous Yirei Shamayim, besides being a Baki and Kol Torah Kula, of course, Zohar in his fingertips. But Chazal say, the thing of not stop eating by a meal, and a person who's doing the right thing shouldn't eat except by a Sudas Mitzvah. Talmud Chacham should eat by a Sudas Mitzvah. So therefore, to make sure that every day he has a Sudas Mitzvah, he made a Siyum on a different Masecht every day. Every day of his life he made a Siyum. So every time he ate, there was a Suda Siyum of Masechta. Look, if you finish Shas at 8, I guess you can make a Siyum every day. And he wrote some amazing Sforim, and I want to just share with you something. I think, as far as I'm concerned, the Sefer that is the most amazing, all the Sforim are amazing, but the most amazing Sefer that I'm familiar with, at least, is called Tzidkas HaTzadik. It's a play on the word, play on the words of his name, Tzadik HaKohen. And there are amazing things in the Sefer, many amazing statements in the Sefer. What can I, where should I start? Where do you start? Oh, here's a beautiful statement he has here. Tzidkas HaTzadik, Os Kuftun Dalot. This whole Sefer, and a lot of his words, like little pieces. There's really no, it's not really one theme. A little shtiklach. So he has here in Ois Kuftan Dalit, this you like, Kishem, Shetzorach Adam, Lahaman Bashem Yisbarach, Karzorach Acha Lahaman Batmo. Just like you have to believe in God, you have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, you really don't believe in God. Because you are God. You're a little piece of God. I believe that God believes in me. Therefore, if I believe in God, I have to believe in me. Because if God bothered creating me, if God's a creator, and he bothered to create me, I must be important, because God don't make no junk. So, Michal, are you junk? Can't be junk, because God made you. And if you believe in God, and God's not junk, Chas v'Shalom, so therefore you can't be junk. It's a gvaltig line that you have to believe that I was made for great things, and God has a purpose for me, and I believe that I believe first of all I'm a neshama, I'm a body. I believe I'm eternal. I believe I'm infinite. I believe myself. He says, let's see what else he talks about here. Speaks about, he has here a shtickle. Speaks all about demyonos. Speaks about fantasies. Whole Arichah is about fantasies, where fantasies come from, what they mean. Now, our brains are filled with fantasies all day long. We have about 60,000 thoughts every day. Most of them are not grounded in reality. The way to get rid of the divinities, of course, is to learn Divrei Torah. Torah is the only absolute cure for dimyon. Torah is grounded. Torah is not the opposite of fantasy. Torah is reality. The deeper you go into Torah, the more you're in touch with real reality. Now, Dimyonis, he says, They're like a dream. They're like a dream while you're awake. Again, only the return of Atlet. And he says one of the places that create the Myonos, we finished the Morinayim for tonight already, Gedalia. We're learning about Rav Tzadok HaKohen in his Yartzeit tonight. So he says, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, that's a place that, he says, living amongst the Goyim create the Myonos. They're not, the only real place is Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the world is not for real. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael, your chances of having a clean head and not having dimyonos, fantasies, imagination, is much better. And that's called a dimyon, he says, is called moichan de katnus. It's called small-mindedness. It comes from Mitzrayim. Dimyonis come from not looking at the big picture. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, Avir there, so Macha means, and there it's still, you're free from these fantasies and illusions. Now, of course, the three things that give you these fantasies are Kina, Ketaiva, Vekavit, jealousy, lust, and a desire for honor. The pursuit of flesh pleasures, pursuit of money, and the pursuit of Kavit. These make a person not be in touch with reality. I heard in the name of the Altan of Minsk Rebbe that he once said, "Akina v'atayv v'akav v'matzinas adam l'olam," mean it, these three things take you out of touch with reality. A person gets into covet, or gets into kina, or gets obsessed and infatuated with a woman, or with an article, or with a car. We must have this house. He's got to make money. So kina taiva kavit, you lose touch with real reality. You're living takan olam adimyon. And the thing that is most deterring us from getting close to the banish talam is dimyonis. Dimyonis. Another way to mevatel dimyonis is by davening. That's why tefillah is called avodah shebelev. Tefillah is called the service of the heart, because in the heart we have dimyonos. And by davening, we kill the dimyon, because many of the say, the Rambam and the Sephorno, that the Yetzirah is the Koyach HaDimyon. Sephorno is the Befeirish. Yetzirah is fantasy. The Yetzirah blows things out of proportion. He tells us that this forbidden fruit is so awesome, it's so gewaltig, you gotta have to have it. It's not true. It's a dimyon, it's an illusion, it's a fantasy, it's not emes, it's a distortion. Dimyon means distortion. What? Dalet mem yud vav nun. Dalet mem yud vav nun. I always say dimyon, if you break into two words, is dam yavan. It's the blood of Greece. Greek put into the world the idea of dimyonos with their literature and their plays and their philosophies. It's all dimyon. Dam yavan. The lifeblood of Greece is dimyon. So he says that David HaMelech, she's a murder gezach. That David Melech Davka had 150, there's 150 kapitel chintilim. Why are there 150 kapitel chintilim? He says a gewaltig gezach, because David Melech says he killed his Yetzirah. He says in a few places, he says in the pasuk, Levi cholal b'kirbi. My heart is empty within me. The Gemara says David Melech said, I killed my Yetzirah. Well, the Yetzirah is three dimensional. The Yetzirah is composed of kina, taiva, and covet, jealousy, lust, and glory. So David Melch has, say, 50 kapitel of film, can I get each one? 50 to kill kina, 50 to kill taiva, and 50 to kill covet. And 3 times 50 is 150. That's why it's 150 kapitel of film. Merit de gezach. How much merit de gezach? Big age David Gamma Miris Tilim, Yoyi Lahatsum, Bidimia, and Yetzer. When David Melch said he wanted the Tilim to be considered like learning Torah, he meant to say, just like by learning Torah, you can mevatel dimyonos, so too I want when I say tilim, it shows mevatel dimyonos. That's what he's looking for. He was looking that tilim should have that ability to settle the mind and put us in touch with reality. Meredith. That's why this 150 kapitlach. He says, because tefillah is such a powerful tool against dimyon, That's why when you damage Shmoneh Esrei, our minds become plagued with demyonos. The mind starts flying all over the place. Daf when you daven, the mind is all over. The mind gets flying and flying all over the place. Because the Dimyon realizes that's in great danger. It realizes it's in danger. Now, he addresses all kinds of subjects here. He speaks about, you know, ordinarily it would seem a little bit out of character. You know, David HaMelech, in Kapitel Kuftes, he curses his enemies tremendously. He curses his enemies. Now, that doesn't sound like a nice thing to do. So what's the pshat? So here in Os, he speaks about, in Os, Ayin Aleph, and onward, he says, really, you're not supposed to ask Hashem that you should see the downfall of anybody, even of Russia. You're not supposed to look for the downfall of Russia. And he said to Yisrael, the kind of a Russia that you're not allowed to ask God to destroy is a Russia who's only bad, in Adon Lamakom. If someone is bad between man and God, that Russia, even though he's a Russia, you can't ask God to destroy him. But if he's bad, like David HaMelech, who cursed his enemies in Mizmor Kuftes, Psalm 109, that's because they were endangering his life. They weren't just bad to God. They were bad to people, especially himself. So an enemy who is dangerous to you personally, that enemy you're allowed to daven for his downfall. And that explains David HaMelech. He speaks about, he says, when a person is wandering in those pay bays, because when a person is wandering from place to place, and he doesn't have a place, he thinks it's for his good. He says, the reason I'm wandering, I'm a traveling salesman, it's good for me. But the truth of the matter is, he must have committed the sin of murder. He must have considered Ritzicha. Because the first person to wander was Cain. And Cain committed Ritzicha. So, maybe the reason now, you know, I never murdered anybody. Why am I wandering? The answer is because there's different kinds of murder. Murder doesn't necessarily mean you stab the knife in the guy's heart. You could have embarrassed the person publicly. Or you caused pain to your friend. That's also called murder. And that's why it's not even not. And if you can't find a place you like, and you're always going from place to place, you just can't find a place you're happy with, you can't find a place you're happy with, that means you must have committed murder, or something similar to murder, like hurting somebody, or embarrassing somebody, or taking their panos away. And he says, in Kinyan Yalamazeh, in the acquisition of this world, sometimes a person finds a lost thing that's worth a fortune, or sometimes he zoche begora lotteria. Sometimes a man wins a lottery. A lotteria. He gets rich without any effort. Without any effort. So, the reason is because he was yogea to protect himself from a sin. The reason why a person would get rich without effort is it's a reward for his putting effort into something else which gave God pleasure, such as not doing an Aveira. So the person who puts koichas into restraining himself in Aveira will be zaycha that without any koich, without any effort, will be zaycha to tremendous wealth. Because nothing goes to waste. If you do something good in one place and you put effort into something, don't think God's going to forget about you. That energy that you put into not sinning, God considers it as if you put the energy into earning all this money, but you get this money without any energy, without any expenditure of energy. As I said, so this it goes on. This is just a random sampling from the Sefer called Tzidkas HaTzadik. He has many, many other svarim, and everyone is unique. Everyone is unique. He says, a person, one last thing I'll tell you, he says, here in Os Mem Dalet, that if a person has a big yetzahara, big cheshik for a certain aveira, big taiva. And should, so a lot of times the person feels very low. I have such a yetzahara for these aveiras, I must be a real low life. I must be a real tragic person. I must be a real not beseder. Because people feel very bad about themselves because they have big yetzahara for certain physical desires. He says, don't feel bad. The reason why you have the desire more than other people is not because you're such a fedorban, you're such a corrupt, lowly individual, such a decadent person. No. Adrava, that means to say that the Rebbe Shem knows that you are a person of a lot of love, a lot of passion, a lot of desire, and the Rebbe Shem wants to take that's very much like the Moranayim. Hashem wants you to take the desire you have for this lowly physical pleasure and use it to serve Him. But if you wouldn't have all this passion, even for pleasures of the flesh, then you wouldn't have the passion to serve the Rebbe Shem. So that's the price you pay. The price you pay for having a passion to daven to Hashem, to do a mitzvah with a gewaltig cheshek, with a gewaltig energy, is that you also have a yetzar to do averes with energy. But don't feel bad. That doesn't mean you're a low life, just the opposite. That means you have potential to serve Hashem with tremendous ava, tremendous love, and tremendous dveikus. This is Yisod. Okay, it goes on and on. That's the same Francisco, the tzaddik. He has a lot on this expression, pre-tzaddik. But it's not want to have another yard site. Tomorrow night. Whose yard site is tomorrow night? Tomorrow night's yard site is Rabbi Pinchas of Karetz. Have you heard of Pinchas of Karetz? Oh. He was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov really had three primary Talmidim. Who became big rebbes on their own the minute he died. The most famous one, of course, is Mizrach Shemagid. That's the most famous. But he also had the Pinchas of Karetz, who was a very, very great man, and also started his own little rebbistra after Baal Shem Tov died. And he also had Rabbi Yechiel Milcha of Zlotchev, who today, for some reason, I don't think so well known. But you have Yechiel Milcha of Zlotchev and Rabbi Pinchas of Karetz, and the most famous and the most popular was Mizrach Shemagid. But Rabbi Pinchas of Karetz was a great man. And he was, his family name was Shapiro. Now, usually the people today that we know that are called Shapiro, they all come from the same family that left one of the main cities of the Rhineland maybe 900 years ago. The city's name was Speyer. Still there, Speyer, S-P-E-Y-R. And the Shapiros, who come from Speyer, they were, many of the family people there died at Kiddush Hashem during the Crusades. And those who escaped always kept the name, they kept the name of their city on them, Shapira, Speyer. And they're all very chashuva people. Shapiros are gehoibin the people. Mayor Shapiro. Shapiro is a very hush of a family. All Shapiros come from the same place, and they all mean the same thing. So his name was Rabbi Pinchas Shapiro. He came from that family. What? No, he's not Kahana. No. No. Not Kahana. I'm a Levian. And Rabbi Pinchas of Karetz was working on many midas in his lifetime. Primarily, the tefillah of, worked on Emes. He also worked on davening. And he davened with tremendous madrig. He didn't shuckle while he davened, but his prayers went very, very high. And he's considered one of the basic founders of Hasidus after the Baal Shem Tov. Now, he has a sefer called Imre Pinchas. I don't believe he wrote it himself. It was put together after he died. And I have a brand new print in two volumes here, but my old one is in this, and I've marked off most of the things in my old one here. And he says some amazing, really, he says amazing things. He's a very amazing person, Pinchas of Karetz. He says things that no one else would say. He says, for instance, on Rosh Hashanah, you know, we say, U'malachem yechafeizon, right, in Sanat Tokev. In the Sana Tokev, you say the Malachim Yechafezim. The angels are in a panic. Remember that? Malachim Yechafezim. And in Shemaim, there's a big tumult going on the day of Din. So he asks, what does it mean, Malachim Yechafezim, on Rosh Hashanah? Why are the Malachim so scared? What do? They don't sin. Why would the Malachim be all in panic on Rosh Hashanah? In the Sanat Tokah we say, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Malachim are in a panic. Why should they panic? What are they panicking about? They didn't do any Averis. So he says that you saw that really, there's two kinds of Malachim. There's permanent Malachim, and there's newly created Malachim. The permanent Malachim are like Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel. Those are permanent. But then there's Malachim that are being created all the time. By you and me. Because every time we do a mitzvah, or every time we say a Dvar Torah, Binyamin Kastner is creating a Malach, Binyamiel. Ben Binyamin his name is, the son of Binyamin. So, those Malachim which are created from our mitzvahs or our Averis, they are judged on Rosh Hashanah, because they are part of us, we made them. And the Malach, Hashem is looking into the Malach to make sure that the mitzvah is done mishleimus. So Rosh Hashanah, the Malachim are Shanemol Tzitterin. The Malachim are certainly shaking and trembling. But they are the result of the deeds of men. And our Rosh Hashanah, just as the man is judged, his extension, which are his good deeds, that now transform themselves into Malachim, they're inspected also to see how pure they were and how good they were done. So the Malachim are a lot to be scared of. That's the Pshat Malachim in Chafesim. Merely of Pshat. Merely of Pshat. And he says another thing is that how come, he says, there's a minute that before Tiyas, the Rav gets up and gives a drasha. It's always a minute Yisrael covers, but the Rav, even in shuls where the Rav never darshans, in the morning, on Shabbos is a Yom Tov, but before Tiyas, the Rav always darshans. Why? The answer is, he says, because when a Rav gives a drasha, and the congregation listens, so the fact that they listen gives the opportunity for the Rav, who is talking to them, to absorb all of their neshamas. So that when the Rav himself is either blowing the shofar, or is it being makri, at least calling out the kailas to the, he is the announcer, so to speak, for the Baal Tekea. So the Rav has all the neshamas of everyone in shul inside of them. Because since they listen to him by the drasha, there's a keshe between him and them, and he has absorbed all their souls, and now when he's blowing the shofar, all the souls of these people are in the shofar blowing. There's a gevaltik hashivas. So that's what the minig is dafka, before the tkiyah, to give the drasha, so that all the souls of the shul should be united and concentrated in the rav or in the baal tekeah. The merit the gazach. And then the neshama goes into it. The neshama goes into it. He says, really, he says, I wouldn't give a drasha in Rosh Hashanah. Why should you give a drasha? I never give a drasha in shul. The only reason I do it is for this reason. Because when you give a drasha and the audience listens, so then the souls of all the people in the audience have now merged with the soul of the person giving the drasha. And if it's the Rav who's participating, if he's a shayfer, that means he's going to be blowing all the souls of the shul into the Kiyah Shayfer. So where the gazak? There's a lot of interesting things. Many interesting things. He speaks over here in the Medrash Pinchas Takan, the sixth parasha, Parash Kiseitze, speaks about Kas. He says that if a Yid has Midas Rose, this is a big Kiddush, if a Yid has bad Midas, you should know that the bad meters come from the fact there's a shaykh of the goyim. All bad things come from the goyim. A yid bad son doesn't have bad meters. If he has something bad, that means he picked up from the goyim. So you see, Michal, if you ever see a Jew doing something bad, he's not the Jew. And that, it's not the Jew doing the vera, it's the goyim that's doing the vera. And what you don't like about that Jew, is not the Jew part of him, it's the goyish part of him. Because 3/4 of him, if not more, is American. And 3/4 of someone from, England is Englishman. And 3/4 of Gedai Rapport is Ukrainian. You're only a fractional Jew. We all have, that's the curse of Golas. That we have the Goyim inside of us, whether you like it or not. Sorry. Azari's up to Helig Baal Shem. So, all the bad meters we have come from the Goyim. And Kas, he says, it would be nice to know which nation reads which bad meter. He says, one thing I'll tell you. Kas comes from which nation? Says, anger comes from It comes from Amalek. Kas and it comes from Amalek. And he says, that's why we hate him more than anybody else. And it says, Rega Bapo. Rega is Rishitevas, Rashis Goyim Amalek. Rashis, Rash Gimalayan. Rashis Goyim Amalek. Rega Bapo. Because Amalek is the source of anger, of af, of anger and frustration and fury. And he brings down that the Chaim Vital says that anger is really an extension, a branch of gaiva. Because a person gets angry at somebody else because that person is not doing what I want. So I'm angry at you because of my gaiva. So anger is part of gaiva, and of course there's no bigger about gaiva than Esav and Amalek. Esav and Amalek are the biggest bali gaiva. So that's why that nation we know. Amalek has to be eradicated because Amalek means kas and gaiva. Here he says, in Likutim, something is mamash straight out of the Moronayim. It's mamash straight out of the Moronayim. Says, oh, he was a little bit earlier than the Moronayim. Mamash around the same time, I would say. They're all contemporaries. He says, everything in the world runs after man, because man is higher than everything in the world. And they want to be Masala. We got the Moronayim, Parash Das Chanan. That's why money runs after you. Are you rich, Menachem? The money's not running after you? That means you haven't made yourself more chasher than the money. That means you're bowing down to the money and you think the money's more chasher than you. If you have financial problems, it's a sign you have run into the money too much. You have lowered yourself, you have prostituted yourself to the money. Because if you be more chasher than the money, then the money has to run after you. It's mamash pure marinayim. That's why whoever runs after the cover runs away from him. Anything you're running after runs away from you. And so too, if you're running after food, the food runs away from you. This is the Yesod. Very important Yesod. Let's see if you have anything else here I want to share with you. I will conclude with this. He says here in this Likutim on Tillim, he says on the pasuk, "Ma'enishki siskirenu ben Adam tisif kedenu v'atachetrei me'atman l'kim." God made man just a little bit less than God Himself. He says, "You know why?" He says, Gemara says that if tzaddikim wanted, they could create the world. If tzaddik wanted, he could not create the world. Why? Because only man, we know the Moronayim says again and again, that man was created with the letters of the Torah. The basic gene code of you, the basic DNA, what's really at the core of your being is not DNA or genetics and nucleuses and protons and mesons and protons and croutons and all kinds of stuff. What's at your core is letters of the Torah. 22 letters, all 22 letters. But the only thing in the world that's created with 22 letters, this is a big chiddush, the only thing that has 22 letters is man. Everything else has less. So the reason why man can create a world is because the whole world's created in him, and only man. He says animals have only two or three letters. That's why men can eat more things than animals can in general. Because men are bigger. Men can do more because they're 22 letters of the Torah. There's nothing else in the world that's carried with all the 22. I never knew that. That's amazing. Knech. Adam call them Esther Stein the Isis. All the Isis and all the words, worlds. All the letters and all the worlds. But the behemoth Neufis, they can't eat everything because they're only made from two or three letters. That's why they're severely restricted. As amazing as an eagle is, it's not as amazing as Menachem. So it flies, it soars. But the reason why the eagle is limited in its functions is because it's only created with two or three letters, and the only man is created with everything, every single letter in the Torah Akadosha. That's why it was so great. That will answer the night of Baisai. Schusam Yagen Aleinu. So first we have Moranayim on Parshas Kisavo. Parshas Kisavo, Tavshin Samad Zayin, Maor Einayim. So the Hedig of Moranayim brings down a Taisvis in Chagiga. Maybe it's a Kanga Migamor Chagiga. There the Taisvis in Chagiga, Tav Gimel, Amid Beis. So Tosfos brings down a medrash that Gimel Me'idim Ze Al Ze. There are three entities that testify, thank you, one on the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbos, and Klal Yisrael. So these three testify, each one on the other, that they are special, and that they are unique, and that they are echad. And here's what Tosfos says. Top Tosfos here in Gimel Beis. Aminim Bemedrash. Shloish Amidim Zel Zeh. Yisrael Shabbos Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yisrael Vakodesh Baruch Hu Amidim Ala Shabbos. Shiyom Menucha. Klai Yisrael and the Rabbi Shalom designate Shabbos as the day of Menucha. And Yisrael v'Shabbos are made on Hashem, that is Echad. And HaKadosh Baruch and Shabbos are made on Yisrael, Shem Yechid and Mumais, that they're the one and only nation. V'al zeh samchin leimar, ato Echad, v'shimcha Echad, u'mikam Yisrael, go'yechad baretz. That's what we say by Mincha Shabbos, ala pishen medavin yon d'yayma. What does that do with Shabbos? Ato Echad v'shimcha Echad, mikam Yisrael, go'yechad baretz. It does. Because it's speaking about the fact that Shabbos is made on Klai Yisrael, that we are Echad, that Hashem is Echad and Klai Yisrael is Echad. You hear? Everything else in the davening, says Taisus, like by Ma'ariv and Shachris, the middle section of the Shmoneh Esrei, speaks about Shabbos. What is that? Echad, Hashem Echad, Mikam Yisrael, Echad, Arth, Teres Yeshua, Teres Gedula, Yemen. Right? That mentioned later on, Yamanucha Kedusha, the Yamachon Asata. But it starts with Atech, or is Atech, to do with Klai Yisrael? The answer is, yes. I said, it was Shabbos. Because it's Meid, it's telling you that Klai Yisrael and Hashem are Meid on Shabbos, that it is the special day, the one and only day, the day of Menucha in the world. Okay. Azoi Zog Taisus. Now, to explain this better, says the Hele Gemara in Ayin, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches and Beis, says, that El Molei Shomi Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Miyad Hayu Negolim. If the Yidden would just keep two Shabbosos, we'd be redeemed immediately. So the question is, what's the significance of two Shabbosos? What does two Shabbosos mean? Everyone takes on, it doesn't mean Stam, two Shabbosos, literally, that you're going to keep just two consecutive Shabbos. There must be something deeper. What does it mean, two Shabbos? So, he says that the pshat is that the whole Kavanah Zabriya was for Klal Yisrael. The whole world was only created so that Yidden should serve the Rabbanu Shalom. B'dveikus of Chukka G'dayla. To the Shirish, which is the Rabbanu Shalom. And when a Yid is Davik Vashem, he's Davik in the Shirish, so he has a Gevaldike Tainik and a Gevaldike Tshuka. And the reason is because Hashem has Tainik from that. And when we get Hashem Tainik, he gives us Tainik. That's the best way to be happy is making God happy. The second best way to be happy is make someone else happy. You make Hashem happy, or you make someone else happy. If I can make you happy, I'll be happy. If I try to make myself happy, I'll be miserable. It has to make someone else happy. Either a Baruch Shalom or another human being. So, that's why it says in the Sawyer says, Yisrael mefarnesin la'aviyem shebashmayim. We give parnasa to our Father in heaven. What does that mean? That means we give simcha to the Rabbanu Shalom. We give him tainuk. We give the Rabbanu Shalom the fuel, so to speak, the energy to keep up this world. Now, it says in the Sawyer Kaddish, Shabbos, it's part of Kigavna, for those who say Kigavna, that Shabbos is Shmoa de Kutcha Brichu, Shalom called Sitron. That Shabbos is the name of Hashem, and it's Shlemus from all sides. And Shabbos
is the chiyus of the ganze welt, the upper world and the lower world. And the Shabbos that we keep on the seventh day of the week is like a guf and levush liyam Shabbos iloy. In other words, it says the Moinayim this Yisoid, that just like we have a body and a soul, Shabbos has a body and a soul. The Shabbos that we keep down here on the seventh day of the week that you and I keep, that's just the body. That's just the garment. That's just the external covering of Shabbos. The real Shabbos is the soul of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos. The soul of Shabbos is in Shemayim. And when we keep Shabbos down here, we are clothing, so to speak, the real Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, which is in Shemayim. And the Bechin of Shabbos, there's a Shabbos Tato and a Shabbos Ilah. There's a lower Shabbos and an upper Shabbos. What we keep down here is obviously the lower Shabbos. And the soul of Shabbos, which he says is the soul of the whole world, the soul of the world is the Shabbos Eloah. And the big Shabbos Eloah is mitstamsem. It constricts itself and limits itself and sort of pushes itself into this 24-hour period in time called Shabbos Tator. Shabbos Eloah is infinite. Shabbos Eloah is eternal. But the eternal Shabbos Eloah pushed itself in to this clothing, this garment called our Shabbos, Shabbos Tator. Meili says, we understand very well why it says in the Torah, HaKadosha, Mechal Aleim Mois Yumas, person Mechal Shabbos, he dies, deserves to die. Now, people might think this is pretty harsh. This is crazy. This is archaic, primitive religion. So harsh. Just because someone's Mechal Shabbos, that's why a person should die. Because he's Mechal Shabbos. Why a rabbi, a guy flips the light on? You don't understand. Because the Mechal Shabbos is a murderer. He is no Tel Neshama. And he's worse than a murderer. He's worse than a Tel Neshama. What he's doing is, he's mamash killing the whole world. Because Shabbos is the Neshama of the world. And this person, Mechal Shabbos, is mamash killing the whole world. He's mamash Mechal the ganze welt. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Niyev Zro. So Meili says, Nimsa Hoyreg Es Olam Shemesalik Nishmas Mimenu. A person Mechal Shabbos Mesalik Achias Elyon Shabbos Eloya Shubachin Es Nishmas Olam Nimsa Hoyreg Es Olam Shemesalik Nishmas. He's almost killing the world. So we understand if you kill a human being, you deserve to die. If you kill Shabbos, it's worse. You're killing the ganze welt. The whole spiritual level of the whole world has been diminished. It's Meri de Gazach. You're making a cholol, he says. You're making it a dead corpse. You have rendered the ganze welt a dead corpse. And since Lamaisa, kol advarim shenivru b'sheish made bracious, lo nigra malachna b'levush, gufni v'navshi, until Shabbos, comes that Imamish killed Oshay Mei Bereshis. You're a mass murderer. Not Stam, you're a little murderer. You're a serial killer. You're a mass murderer. The person who kills Shabbos kills the whole Bria. The person who keeps Shabbos keeps up the whole Bria. He makes a Tchias HaMeis on the whole Bria. That's why, if you ask me what the most exciting moment of the whole week is for me, what's the most exciting moment? Besides giving this shiur, of course. But other than that, the most exciting moment, really, is making Kiddush on Friday night. There's nothing like it. To me, making Kiddush is absolutely the highlight. It's so exciting. Every week, the Kiddush is so exciting to make Kiddush Friday night. It's the highlight, because you're Mekadosh the Shabbos, your mamash giving life to the Shabbos. Samar de Gazach. See, mamash, you're keeping the whole world alive. I feel such a chias. I feel such vitality. You make Kiddush, it's merdik. You have to make Kiddush slow and with feeling. It's gewaltig. You become a shut of a maize bracious. And in a deeper sense, what it means is that really, this is my ha'ora on this, that really before Shabbos came, the first Shabbos came, Gashmias and Ruchnius were incompatible. So we have the Sheis Tamei Bereishis, which is Gashmius, Shpitz Gashmius. Until the first Shabbos came, there was no way that there could be any bond between Gashmius and Ruchnius. They're just two different worlds. It's fire and water. It's like it is, like the Chazovah says. You can't have fire and water in the same dish. So you can't have a love for Elam Hab and love for Elam Haz in the same person. So they're really incompatible. So how do they taka coexist? And how do we taka use? We use Gashmius as a springboard, as a launch pad for Ruchnius. How do we have this relationship? How do we have the shaykh with each other? The answer is with Shabbos. Shabbos when makes it happen. Shabbos makes Gashmius and Ruchnius coexist. Hashem performed a miracle that bonded. Not only Gashmius and Ruchnius coexist, they become allies and they work together to be mice of Kedusha. Not only do they coexist and they don't fight each other, they become allies. Shabbos makes Gashmius and Ruchnius compatible, working together, and eating the Macholim of Shabbos is like eating the whole Sheishis Mei Bereishis and using it for Avodas Hashem. So that is the pshat. If Klai Yisrael would keep two Shabbosos, they would blend the Kedusha Tato with the Kedusha Eloya, then the Mashiach would have to come. Because that's the Tachas Abriya. The Tachas Abriya is the blending of the Guf and the Neshama, and allowing the Neshama to use the Guf to make more than the every person, according to the level of the Shema Shavas, that's how close they get to the Rabban Shalom. That's how close they get to the Neshama. That's really, of course, he didn't say it. That's not Neshama Yisera. And therefore the Zohar says, this is all in Paras Gisava here. This is Heilige Reit. Ah, Melech Dazash, Tikkun Mar Naim. It's such holy words. He says, the Zohar says, the Bishapta, Vistashi Mikulu Kol Rugzin V'Cholatzvus Kol Dinim V'Chol Puchin and Koshin on Shabbos, if you so desire, Gedalia loves you, there's your big chance you can forget all your anger, all your fears, all your worries, all Dinim, all Machlaikis, anything that's bothering you. Hear that, Ben? Shabbos, you can dump everything. No frustration, no fear, no anger, nothing. It's just happiness. Because Shabbos is Shlemus. And the welcome Shlemus is no Chisaron. All these things, fear, frustration, anger, that's a lack of Shlemus. But Shabbos is Shlemus. When you put together the Shabbos Tato with the Shabbos Ilah, you have a Gvalti of Shlemus. With the Shlemus, there's none of these Chisaronis. That's why, of course, Chazal say, Shabbos you have a Daimel Lecha, Kilo Komalach Lecha Asuya. On Shabbos, you should imagine that all your work is already done. Because the Shlemus is not Chesaron. And Mela, you should know that Shabbos is Ischabros. On Shabbos, Gashmias and Ruchnias are not two hafachim. Ordinarily, Gashmias and Ruchnias are opposites, adversaries. When the Shabbos Elyon, which is internal, comes into the Shabbos HaTachtein, which is finite, this is number one, the best way Klai Yisrael is Davik and the Rabbani Shalom. And the whole world has Shalom. That's why it's called Shabbos Shalom. There's no steerist anymore. There's no contradiction. Gashmius and Ruchni is not contradiction. And the whole week, then the whole week the Seltzer can be the Scottish. Not just Ber Mayim Chaim Seltzer, even if it's Winter Seltzer. If it's just Pathmark Seltzer. It can be used, the Shem Shemayim, it's no problem. It's perfectly compatible with Ruchnius. Meili says, that's why, he says, we have a funny thing. We say that Klai Yisrael is a Shutta for the Rabban Shalom. But Hashem is Echad. Ata Ech V'Shim Echad, Mikam Yisrael, Goy Ech L'Barat. So Hashem is one, so how can Klai Yisrael be one? If he's one, and we're one, then it's two. The answer is, because Echad Gematria is 13. And twice 13, of course it's Ava, but twice 13 is 26. Shem Avaya. Sastira. We are part of the Echad of the Rabbani Shalom. Ato Echad, Shimcha Echad, Mikam Yisod, Do Echad Boret. In Hashem's name of Avaya, there's room for two Echad, because we're really part of one. We're just half, two halves of a whole. Kavi Yochel, what it really means is our neshamas are Hashem. Our neshamas are fragments of Hashem. So we are the other half of the Rabbani Shalom, Kavi Yochel. And he's half of us. He's the Ruchni part of us, as opposed to the Gashmias. So you put Echad and Echad together, you get 26 of Hashem Avaya. So it's not Stira. This Mizug, this compound, happens on Shabbos. On Shabbos, everything comes together. Everything comes together. And that's why Shabbos is the time of Tshuva as well. So that's why the Torah had to be given on Shabbos also, Dafka on Shabbos, because Shabbos is Shlemus, and the Torah is Shlemus. This is the Yisoidus of the Orach Haim of the Heliga, the Heliga Morinayim on this week's parasha. In addition, I want to share with you what he has in the Shtikl Morinayim here, in the Lakutim. In Lakutim, where is it over here? Yes. Masechta Shabbos. And, very beautiful vart. I'm looking for something new here in Lakutim. Lakutim is plenty of good stuff here. Lakutim is called Yismach Leiv. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Morinayim Yismach Leiv. So the first part, all the time, is called Morinayim. The second part is Yismach Leiv. Yismach is a beautiful name, Yismach Leiv. So here, the Morinayim, the Heilige Morinayim is, it's not like the Morinayim. Zog the Heilige Morinayim, he brings the Morin Shabbos, of Yudalit. Omer Afarnach, Oichiv the Sefer Torah Orem, Nikbar Orem. Gemara says, whoever holds on to the Sefer Torah naked, will be buried naked. Feg the Gemara, Orem Salkadaitach. What? You mean the man Mamish holds on to the Sefer Torah Mamish naked? A chutzpah? When a guy's going to hold on to the Sefer Torah Mamish naked? That's what's going on here? Is he buried naked? Ella Omer Avzeira, Orem B'lay Mitzvahs. It means to say that he held on to it. The kasha of Aram Sagada is really going on the person that has to be buried. You really mean that the guy who holds the Torah naked will be buried naked? So he said, no, it means naked from the mitzvahs. No mitzvahs. I'm Rav Zeir, Aram B'lai mitzvahs. Trade tomorrow, B'lai mitzvahs, Sagadaita, Mamish, Hashem is going to strip away all his mitzvahs? El Aram B'lai mitzvahs. He's not going to have that mitzvah. In other words, if he was holding on to a naked, naked now really means he's holding on to it with his bare hands. So he's not going to have that mitzvah of learning Torah. When he was abusing the Torah, B'shas Ma'isa, he's not going to have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, in fact, the Morinayim, the Morinayim, the Kasha, Orem Salkadaitach, what was the Kasha? In the end, we understand that really means he's holding on to the Sefer Torah with his bare hands, without talis, without something between. So what was Morinayim's big Kasha? If he holds on to the Sefer Torah, Orem, he'll be buried Orem. It doesn't mean naked mamish. The Morinayim could understand right away. It means holding on to it without any mechitza. So he says, I'll tell you the real pshat in the Gemara. The emes pshat in the Gemara, it has to be understood figuratively. He says, because we have a yisayit, that kol sheyirasai kademes lechachmasai chachmasim eskayemes. If your Yerushimayim comes first, if the main thing is Yerushimayim, then the Torah will have a kiyum. If the Yerushimayim is not important to you, then the Torah will not have a kiyum. Zog d'marnayim, that's the reason why a Torah always has to be covered. The cover of the Torah, the mantle, is the Yerushimayim. The Torah Orem, a Torah which is naked, the Torah is not covered up, and you're touching it directly, without any mantle on it, without a talis, something over it. That's like Chochmah without Yerushimayim. The mantle is the Yerushimayim. And when you see the mantle, you say, oh, Yerushimayim is supposed to be Kodemus of Chochmasai. If you don't hold on to the Torah with a mantle, and the mantle here is Shemayim, they have nothing. Kol shi yirasa kedemes l'chamas l'chamas l'skiyemes. Anish nish. Beautiful pshat. That's why he couldn't hold on to the Orem. Ki ayir levush l'chol ha-tayra. The year is levush. Ki muyare, if he is here Shemayim, he'll be mekai in the mitzvahs of the Torah. Like it says, Reishis chok miyir sashem. And it says, the keva to saviv gover. The woman surrounds the man. That's why under the chuppah, the wife goes around seven times, because the women have more Yerushimayim than the men usually. The wife's giving the husband mussar, right? The wife's keeping them in place. The women are the malbush around the men. The women are the shmira for the men. The women are the mantel. The man might learn Torah. That's why they say women don't learn Torah. It's really gewaltic. Because the men, this is a whole new, the men are the Torah. And the woman is the Yerushalayim around the Torah. As the Yerushalayim, because that was the Chachmasai. So it's two different functions. The men, so on the one hand, Avada Torah is, what's more important? What's more chashuv? Torah Yerushalayim. Depends how you look at it. Avada Torah is everything. Right? Without Torah, you're nothing. But on the other hand, without Yerushalayim, the Torah is nothing. So, it's both essential. But each one has their own function. So the women are the Yira Kodin L'Chait. They're the Malbush. What? No, you don't necessarily. Women don't have Torah. They only have Yerushalayim. But they do it for their husband. They're the Yerushalayim machine for the husband. They drive the men crazy. So you should appreciate your wife next time she criticizes you and critiques you and says, get out of here, go to the shir at night. Say, thank you. You're my Yerushalayim. Without you, I wouldn't learn Torah. Without me, there wouldn't be Torah. Avada, the Torah, the men's Torah is very choshev. But the women of the Yerushalayim, it's a gewaltig azach, you know, and it's a very, very geschmacky aside. That's why women don't have Torah, because they're the Yerushalayim, which is, in many ways, more choshev. So that's why in Eishes Chayil it says, Isha Yiras Hashem, he tesalo. Because a woman's function is Yerushalayim. Women have to hear this. And this is Mesoivit, call it Torah. Because the Torah is Zachar, and the Yerushalayim is the Keva. And that's what Farnach means. If you hold on to Sefer Torah Orem, without the Levush, which is Yira, Nikva Orem, what does that mean? That you'll have the Torah naked. You'll have a naked Torah when you're buried. You won't have mitzvahs. You won't have any mitzvahs. Without Yerushalayim, you won't do anything. If there's no Yerushalayim, there's no mitzvahs. That is Oyle Ante. It's a Gevaltik Azach. Gevaltik Epshat. And he says, now that I'm on the subject, I'll tell you Epshat Tak in that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Shiras Chetoy. Koydemus the Chachmasoi, Chachmasoi Miskiyamas. In fact, what's this Chachmasoi business? She said, Kol Shiras Chet. Koydem the Chachma, Chachma Miskiyamas. What's Yiras Chetoy? Koydemus the Chachmasoi. Why do we personalize it? So, you know my vort on that. You know my vort. I'll make a very long story short. Rav Meir Bar Ilan, one of the founders of Mizrahi, once came with Zev Gold to Rav Gifter when he was a young rabbi. I think he was 23, 24 in Waterbury. In the 40s, they came to seduce him to become a member of Mizrahi. And they spent the whole night with him, driving him crazy about the godless of Mizrahi. When Rav Gifter was called Mizrahi. And she came from Mizrahi in America in the 40s. Aguda was nothing. Mizrahi was everything. Even when I was a kid in the 50s and the 60s, you hardly heard of Aguda. In the 60s, you started a little bit. But as I grew up in the 50s, Mizrahi. Aguda was a non-entity. So he tried to get him to become a member. So he said, no way, I'm Aguda. My Rebbeim are Aguda. I'm not Mizrahi. I don't like it. Your Hashkaf is all false. He has the whole night. Rav Gifter turns to Meir Bar Ilan and says, okay, you've been in cross-examining me all night. Now I'll ask you a few questions. Tell me, you're the uncle of Reb Chaim Brisker. Meir Bar Ilan was with the son of the Netziv of Elojan, and Reb Chaim was married to the granddaughter. So he was younger than Reb Chaim because he came from a Zivik Sheni of the Netziv. The Netziv died. He was only bar mitzvah after the mitzvah. The Netziv died in 1893. He was born in 1880. Reb Chaim was already a god lador in 1880. Reb Chaim was born in probably around 1840 even. Chaim was born maybe 1840, around there. So he was born about, his nephew was 40 years old. So he asked the Meir Bar Ilan, what was Reb Chaim all about? So Meir Bar Ilan answers Reb Gifter and says, if you want to know what he's all about, go visit a certain member of the Salvechik family, and that person is Reb Chaim's cup without his Yerushalayim. If you want to know what Reb Chaim Brisker was like, go visit that person. Thus, Reb Chaim's cup is Reb Chaim's head without his Yerushalayim. That's what Rabbi Elazar said. So when Rabbi Gifter told me that, I told him, hold on, 1 second. Everybody knows that that famous rabbi has Yerushalayim. And you know what? He's very smart, and he has Yerushalayim too. And could be, Yizichra has more Yerushalayim than me. Little old me has more Yerushalayim than me. I said to my Shver, and could be has more Yerushalayim than the Shver has. But the problem is, that it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol she'yir asai, kaidemes l'chachma asai. Chachmas miskayemes. Has to be, his Yerushalayim has to be commensurate with his chachma. As big a Talmud Chachma you are, you have to have more Yerushalayim. So for him, it's not good enough. So Reb Chaim Brisker had to have this awesome Yerushalayim, because his chachma was so awesome, he had even a bigger Yerushalayim. It has to be chachma soik, that Yerushalayim, that's my gvaltig of art. Merdig, yusait, that's the word, that's kaveya. So that's for emphasis kasha, but let's see what the Moranayim says. So the Hele Moranayim brings on the kasha. It should say, it's just in Pirkei Avos. Kol she yira kaidam l'chachma, chachma is kayamis. What happens? Yira, that's very effective. So he says that he really, the kasha is a kasha of the Tikkuni Zohar. This kasha, the Tikkuni Zohar is kasha, which I'm about to tell you, essentially is the kasha I was asking the Gdolim last year. I wrote it down there from Reb David Salvechik and from Reb Yechiel Lefkowitz, that the Tikkuni Zohar, Dav Vav, essentially, it's the kasha. On the one hand, Chazal say Kol Shirasa Kedemes the Chachmasai Chachmas Kuskiyemes. But how do you become a Yirei Chait? It says, right, Lo Yemoritz Chosid, Lo Yibur Yirei Chait. So how can you have Yirasa Kedemes the Chachmasai? You can't have Yira before Chachma, because without Chachma, you can't have Yira. Because Lo Yemoritz Chosid, Lo Ein Bur Yirei Chait. Of course, with my terror, it's not kasha. Because Yiras HaKadam HaKamasa is telling you what the Yiras will look like. Not the process, it's telling you what it looks like. But the Moranayim says that essentially this is what the Tikkuni Zohar is saying. So the Tikkuni Zohar, now he's right here in the Akdama, the Tikkuni Zohar says, Darga Asira. The Tikkuni Zohar goes through 10 Dargas that are Akdama to avoid this Hashem. And Akdama to learn Tikkuni Zohar. So, Darga Asira, B'Yiras Hashem, is Yira V'Yis Yira. V'Lav Kolap Yishavim. There's Yira and there's Yira. And not all Yira is the same. Is Yira the Dachel Barnash L'Kutcha B'Yichu. B'Gain L'Yalka Le'Ber Tzua. There's a Yira Shemayim, which I'm really afraid of Yira's Einish. I don't want to get Malkus with the Ritzua. And, like it says, V'aretz is a toiv avoyu, which is a sitra di lamed the toiv ra, the alarekanaya shifchabisha, kigavim the chad darba avos nezikin diu abor, that the bor of Yosef. Again, the Shmuz here actually, the gra, there's a whole parish of the gra, the mishnayas baba kama al piderech anister. The sefer was printed once and it's not around anymore. There's a Yid, a very chashuv Yid in Bnei Brak. His name is Rabbi Yisrael Elia Weintraub. He was right next door to Chaim Kanievsky. And he was the Rebbe of the Stipler, Zecher Tzadik Vrach, in Kabbalah. Yisrael Elia Weintraub is American. He's a Chaim Berliner. He's in his 70s now, probably. He's probably same age as Chaim, maybe even younger. But he... Because the Stipler's Rebbe in Kabbalah, very interesting. It's a Talmud of Hutner. So I went to visit him last year, and he was telling me, he spoke about something, and he showed me, he put out this Groz Perish on Baba Kama, on Mishnayas, Alpi Nister. And the first thing is, Arbav Zanzik and Ashor Vabor Mava Vahever. He has a whole beer, Alpi Nister. And this, I see where this word comes from. This is the Tikkuni Zohar. That the Tikkuni Zohar says a bor doesn't mean bor, a pit. It means the bor, it's Arei Kanai, it's a mensch who's pust and vist, a mensch who's like a bor, etgonisht. And he's Marbav's Nezikin. So that's Arichas. She says, there's a yiras shamayim, which is a yira from Einshim. You're afraid of the boar. You don't want to fall into the pit. But then, man diyudachel migoye raisa, di teferes, diminei novkas. Ah, it's going to yi shkula l'kabeg. And this is a yira that's a gavaltik yira. This yira is Hashem malchus delay. Kalila mikol pekudei raisa. So there's a yira shamayim that takas yiras haroimimus. The yiras haroimimus can only come after you learn Torah. So it's shy to have yiras einshin without learning Torah. You tell you, if you don't behave, you get clapped. Afdem dafne zayin can raise the talmud chacham. If you don't behave, ritzua, malchus, bor, arayim bor and bor. For that you don't have to be a talmud chacham. But to have the yira of yiras hatiferes, yiras haroimimus. Man the dochel migoy raisa, the year is a roimus of the Rabbi Shalom, and that makes a person do mitzvahs of the gavaldik goyvenkeit, right? It wasn't bekudi the raisa, a year in the nafkas migoy tired you amuda them tisa, which is the Rabbi Shalom. Them that taki you have to learn tired first. So there's a year that's kodemus the chachmas. There's a pashta year. There's a pashta year sa einshim that you can have before you learn. But that will bring you to learn. And from the learning, you'll come to a higher madrega of the yiras haroimus, which comes only from limud haTorah. It's not shayach. It is not shayach to have a yiras haroimus with the Rabbi Shalom, unless you learn Torah and you do the pekuda deraisa. It's not shayach. Like David HaMelech, but gang domer, David HaShlaimai, benai, da'as alhei avicha v'avdeyu. You know the Rabbi Shalom, then you can serve the Rabbi Shalom. There's a difference between knowing about the Rabbi Shalom and knowing the Rabbi Shalom. There's a difference between knowing about God or knowing God. I think that's the difference between Amunah and Bitachon. Amunah means I know about the Rabbi Shalom. Ich weiß wegen der Rabbi Shalom. And Bitachon is Ich weiß der Rabbi Shalom. It's an andere Sache. I know about. Amunah is an kap. I believe. I know. But Bitachon means I know the Rabbi Shalom. That about the Rabbi Shalom. So that only can come from even a Torah. So the Maranayim says that this Shmuas about what's supposed to come first and what comes last, he says he thinks that's the Pshat. Avade, you have to learn Torah, that year is Chet. Kzein bur yirei Chet. And then, when you learn, the Torah is called Torah is Hashem. And you learn it to get years of Chet. But after you learn, after you learn, then you mock them the year at Latira. And then the Torah is called Chachma Soy. Kol Shirasoy Kademis L'Chachma Soy. In other words, he's learning to know about the Rabbi Nishlalam. Chachma Soy. V'vzeyesh L'faris Divrei Tikkuni Zohar Davov. Ayin Shom. Tirta Kusha. So what is he saying? Does up there. He's saying, Avada. It has to learn Torah. To get real Yiras Shemayim, you have to learn Torah first. So even though it says Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, but you got to learn Chachma first. When we say Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, or it has to be Yerasa Kedem as the Chachma Asai, that means that after you learn Chachma Asai, the Rabbi Nishlom. Chachma Asai means the Rabbi Nishlom Chachma. And after you learn, so in the Mahalach HaTvorim, the Torah has to be learned first. Without learning Torah, you're not going to know what year is, real year is. But once you do learn Torah, then you have to make the Yiras Shemayim Dikr. Melech Torah, today is the Yiras Shemayim Zazayim Dikr. In the Mahalach, you have to learn Torah first. Because you're not even shy to understand what Yiras really is. Yiras Einshin you can understand maybe, but not real Yira. Should be Yirasai, Kodemet L'Chachmasai, that now that you have the Chachmas HaTorah, Chachmas Hashem, then you make the Yiras Shemayim the most chashuv thing. That, as I said, the Heilig Gemara Nayim, is the teretz that does make the tikkun zayin. Okay, one last thing, Rabbi Isai. So we have our Moranayim, and just the words from the Halakha Kedushas Levi. Can't go into Shabbos on a shtickle Kedushas Levi. So he says two things in Handikah Parsha. Maybe I'll go to the end, but first, zok the Halakha Kedushas Levi in Handikah Parsha. It says in the Teichacha, when things are good, in the good part of the Teichacha, in the brachas, it says, "Unasancha Hashem l'roish v'loy l'sanav." If you're good, then Hashem will make you a head and not a tail. V'yisa rak l'mala v'leiti l'mata. You'll be only above and not below. So, fact that l'chayr teves v'loy l'sanav and loy l'tamata l'miyuser. What happens? It should say, "Unasancha Hashem l'roish v'yisa rak l'mala." If I'm a Reish, I'm not a Zanav. And if I'm Lamala, I'm not Lamata. So Mamish, the words are extra. It's a really good point. Vashayt, when the Zanav Hashem the Reish, Veloy Lazanav. Vashayt, I'm not a Zanav, I'm a Reish. And Vayisarak Lamala, Vashayt, I'm not Lamata. Zog Tehe, Lekadush Levi, Kiyadua, there's three Olamais. There's Olam HaMachshava, which is the highest. And then there's Olam HaDibur, and Zoylam Amaisa, the Kulam Hakadosh Baruch Mechay Oisam. So he says, now the lowest is Zoylam Amaisa. So he says, Azoy, as a chap, who's Levi is a chap, who's Levi is a Balkishrim, who's the Levi says, Pilpulim, it's always a Kishrim Chayim, it's your kind of Torah. So he says, if you're the Roish in the Oylam Hamaisa, the top of Oylam Amaisa touches the bottom, the Zonov of Oilam HaDibur. And if you're in the Reish of the Oilam HaDibur, you're still at the Zanav of the Oilam HaChshava. Okay? Reish Oilam HaMaisu Shavim Saif Oilam HaDibur. The Reish Oilam HaDibur is Shavim Saif Oilam HaMachshava. The Reish Oilam HaChshava, that's the top. And the Oilam HaChshava, if you're on the top there, you're on the top. There's no tails over there. It's heads and no tails. What? Shava, Dibur, Maisa. So if you're at the head of Oilam HaDibur, you're still touching the tail of Oilam Ha... I'm sorry, the head of Oilam HaMaisa, you're still at the tail of Oilam HaDibur. And when you get to the head of Oilam HaDibur, which is still action, you're at the bottom of Oilam HaMachshava. But when you get to the top of Oilam HaMachshava, it's home free. It is top. You're all at the top. So after that's the pshat, when the son of Hashem, the Reish, Hashem will put you at the top, not at the Oilam HaMaisa, and not at the top of the Oilam HaDibur. You'll be at the top of the Oilam HaMachshava. And there, like the Zanav. V'yisarak l'mala. And from there on, it's just all upward. V'loyti l'mata. You're not underneath anything. You're only on top. You're not below anything. You're all the way. Gvaldik. Yeah, chap. It's possible because you're lady. And that's Leila Zanav. He's Davik in the Reish. Anything else, you're Davik in the Zanav, but not here. Shadam Davik Reish Shalom Achshava, Azay Ein Sham Soif Klal. There's no end. And what the word, the real word is that, you see, in this world, there's Menias. There's obstacles. You should know that the obstacles are really, this is my parish. There's obstacles in Olam HaMaisa. I want to do a Maisa, it's an obstacle. I want to move, you're in my way. I feel tanif, but you're not letting me do it. In Olam HaDibur, I also, there's Menias to the Menias to my Dibur. But I can be drowned out. But in Machshave, I'm free. Which means, this is what you have to know. People think that we have Shlecht HaMachshavas all day long, and we have Narish HaMachshavas, and we have Hirhurim, and we have Machshavas Verveist, and Nebuch, what can I do? So the biggest you start to know is that the Oilam HaMachshava I'm a Shri. That's wrong. The Machshavas that come and hound me, that's not me. It's Nishmir. It's not me. I don't have to have the Machshavas. I should have Zai Gesund, L'chaim L'shalom, leave me alone, and you have no Rishus to bother me. Get out. Arois, Gevek the Shagits, Lazmalang, Lazmitzaru. In the Olam HaMachshava, there's really only Lamala. If you want, the Olam HaMaisa, you know, there's always something. I mean, if I'm Olam HaMaisa, I'm stuck in jail, I can't get out. What am I supposed to do? I can't get out. And Deeper also, sometimes I can't speak, sometimes they won't let me speak. They drown me out, they gag me. In the Olam HaMachshava, there's nothing in my way. Again, for good machshavas, I can think what I want good. My mind can go anywhere it wants to go. There's no jails. There's no limitations. No limitations for the good. And the bad, is Hevel Havolim. The bed is a Dimyon. The bed is Olam HaDimyon. The Rambam, the Mar Nevuchim, the Sepurnoi, everybody said that the Eitz Hara is Dimyon. It's not real. It is a fantasy. It's an imagination. So in the Olam HaShavah, I really have nothing in my way. And if something does come in my way, if that's my Shavah, you're not, get out of here, leave me alone. All you have to do is shry, gay, avek, and it's going to go away. We think it's real, the Moshav, but we think it's famous, and sometimes we like it, it's a nice, it's geschmack, I'd like to think about it. But I realize that it doesn't come from me, the Moshav. It's not from me. I didn't create the Moshav. It's not me that I have bad thoughts. The bad thoughts are coming from outside, and it's an assignment. And I can vibe with the race. The Moshav, there's no limits. That's the assignment. Also ich darf verstehen, wie es Levi ist, noch ein Stickel, wo es darf auf hier, aber ich sage, sei gewünscht, hat einen guten Schabbos, brauche was Loche. See you next Wednesday.